happened.
It is 9:05. 45 degrees. We've warmed up significantly since I first walked in here this morning. We had a frost advisory in effect, but no more frost the rest of the day as we're expected to warm up all the way to around 73 degrees. All in all, it's going to be a real nice day today, but rain coming tonight. It's time for another edition of Party Line this morning. Our guest will be Mayor Steve Patterson of Athens. And got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about here in the next 20 or 30 minutes. That's just ahead for you here on Mix 97.3 FM and 970 WATH. It's time for Party Line. Mayor Patterson, it's so wonderful to have you stop by again.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. It's great being here. There we go.
Try it again.
Is that better?
Now try it.
How about now? There we go.
For crying out
myself.
No, that was probably my fault. I apologize for that.
That's all right.
Anyway, it's good for you to stop by again today. We appreciate your regular visits. And without further ado, we'll jump right into the conversation. Last month, I was reading in the newspaper about something that a lot of Athens residents, I'm sure, are curious about in terms of an update. This was in reference to a hiring freeze. Now, I realize it was a limited hiring freeze because of cash reserves being below where they need to be. And I understand this was partially or fully due to some medical expenses that you weren't expecting last year. Could you give us an update on that situation?
Sure. Yeah. As you indicated, you know, the healthcare costs have certainly gone up for everybody, and as well here in the city of Athens with the city employees. And so with that, even though we responsibly budgeted in 2023 for the 2024 budget, there were unexpected costs that carried over and continued to rise. And then we do have a threshold in which if we drop below a certain percentage of reserve, then we sit there and we'll look at options such as a soft hiring freeze, which is what you just indicated, to where we are looking closely at positions that are left where someone leaves, takes a job elsewhere. Whether we truly need to fill it, if it's not a critical position, we can hold off on filling that position. If it's a critical position, we will refill that position. An example would be that we were to have a lieutenant with the fire department or the police department leave. Well, those are important roles, as is all the firefighters and police officers. But with those, you know, it's a leadership role. So we need to make sure that we are replacing those. If I were to have someone leave from a leadership role at our water treatment plant, wastewater treatment plant, any of our department heads, those are critical. But if we have other people who leave, I'm referring to myself, the service safety director, the city auditor, Kathy Hecht, as well as the treasurer, Josh Thomas, and city council president will sit there and look at these and go, okay, can we, and this, a lot of this is with administrative input, can we hold off on filling this or do we absolutely need to fill? So that's the soft hiring freeze portion of this. Last night at council, we discussed another thing that we have that we haven't really thought about before. And when we have bonds that come in for, say, the building of the new fire station headquarters, which was a significant bond that came in. It was $11 million plus. You're not going to spend that money right away. That gets allocated out to the developer, contractor that comes out basically in monthly allotments. You know, here's for your salary. Here's the work being done and performed. What isn't being used right away, and we knew that a lot of this wasn't going to be used right away, we invested it in high interest bonds and high interest CDs, things of that nature. And I say we, the city treasurer, and we've done really well. 2023, we did well. 2024, we're on track to do really well. And so what we're going to do is anything that's not proprietary, that interest from some non-proprietary fund can actually go into the general fund. And so that we know is going to basically level things off and improve where we are with that cut line for the hiring freeze.
You know, I suppose running a city is in some ways like running a house. And here's the example I'll throw at you. Last month, I had a very unexpected dental bill. It was very expensive. Now, I have a budget just like everybody else out there, I would assume. And the dental bill literally swamped my budget. I still had to pay the dental bill, but I had to make arrangements on other things that I had coming due at that time to make sure that I could get by until next month when my liquidity comes back to normal. So what we're talking about here, or what it sounds like to me, is a situation that unless you have a crystal ball and you're clairvoyant, it's impossible to prepare for completely. You can only deal with certain situations as they arise.
That's right. That's right. And it's also important to remember that things like the citizens of Athens, your water bill, your sewer bill, there's a storm sewer line item on your utility bill that everyone gets. Those are all proprietary. So, and those accounts are actually doing pretty well. The wastewater treatment plant budget is great. The water treatment plant is great. Other proprietary funds, they're doing really well. It's the general fund, which is basically what we pay all salaries, all healthcare, as well as other improvements in the city come from that general fund. About 85% of the revenue that comes into the general fund is for personnel. It's for healthcare, it's for their benefits, and it's for their salaries. So this money will help with the general fund, but again, it's important for everyone to know a lot of the other line items that are proprietary or enterprise funds, they're doing fine.
Great, that's good news. So before we get to the fun stuff, let's talk about another subject, the construction on West Union Street.
Let's talk about it.
Last month during your council meeting, several businesses came forward with some concerns. Can you give us an update on that situation?
I can, and I am very empathetic and understand those concerns that the business owners who did come to council, there were several of them, all on West Union. West Union construction project is a really difficult one. We're replacing an aging, an aged out, really, water line that runs through there that is too small for the development that we're seeing out in that corridor of the city itself, where we had to replace, I believe it was a 10-inch water main, old water main, with a 12-inch water main so that we have capacity for the new apartment complex that's out at 682 and 56, you know, to make sure that water is still being reliably delivered to the University of States, to all the businesses along West Union. The other issue on West Union is it's a really narrow right-of-way that the city has. And with that comes the issue of having to tear up a significant portion, one lane of that street, to allow for the placement of this water main and for it to work its way from Schaefer Street all the way out to the West Union Bridge by the Elks. So all the businesses, they are open. It's important to share that with people who are using West Union or thinking about using West Union. The businesses are all open and the businesses all have access to them. The issue becomes the fact that it's one-way traffic flow from the West Union Bridge, basically intersection of 682 and 56, all the way up to basically the hospital. From that point, it's two-way, so that we're allowing and maintaining proper traffic flow to get to the hospital. There's two routes in which you can get to the hospital, too, by the way. You can either do West Union, or you can do South Schaefer and go in where the emergency, you see emergency signs for the emergency room. Well, you can still access Kastrup Center, the hospital itself, and other amenities, facilities there at the hospital using South Schaefer. But it's two-way up to Hospital Drive, which also includes the fairgrounds. So And what we are doing is we are working with the contractor to accelerate this construction process to where we get back to full two-way flow of traffic through there. But again, you know, this is the challenge that you run into in any city that's over 220 years old and has aging infrastructure underground and our arteries coming in. We had the same challenge on Stimson Avenue when we had the Stimson project. We had the same challenge on East State Street when we did a pretty thorough repaving along that corridor to where, again, there was a lot of businesses impacted.
Another example of growing pains, and probably no perfect time to do something like this. However, the long-term good will undoubtedly outweigh the short-term pain. And if I'm correct, I think I read where you're working further with the businesses to try and let them know scheduling.
Yes.
So that they can work with their own personal schedules and try to keep workers efficiently working when construction is going to be ebbing and flowing.
That's correct. And the contractor, we've really held them to making sure they have a liaison who is engaging with the business owners. There wasn't an effective job being done prior to us recognizing, wait a minute, there's a whole lot of the business owners not knowing, you know, when are there going to be steel plates in front of my business? When is there going to be access into my... And then the other thing that was lacking was signage. If you go down there now, you'll see a lot of signage saying, you know, business is open, driveway open, whatever it says. So we're working as closely as possible with the contractor to make sure that everything is running more smoothly. And the contractor down there is Shelley and Sands.
Well, thank you very much for that information and update, Mayor. We're talking with Steve Patterson of Athens. And now let's move on to some more fun subjects. The City Fiber Project, can you provide us with an update on that?
Sure. Yeah, the Fiber Project is barreling along. We've already connected a number of the buildings. Arts West is now on the fiber network. The Armory is soon to be on the fiber network. We've also had for a while now the city swimming pool and the community center is on the fiber network. Everything in the past, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but you know, if you look up at North Hill, you know, above the Armory, you'll see if you're at the right angle, you'll see a tower. Actually, if you go up to Highland Park off of Highland Avenue, there's a tower up there, an aerial tower that has dishes on it. Well, that's our former, well, we're still using it. That's our microwave shot tower where we're using microwave, which 20, 25 years ago was great technology.
State of the art.
It was state of the art. It's not state of the art anymore, especially if you're a Tree City USA, because when you're in full foliage, we have challenges. We couldn't get a microwave. Well, it was dicey getting a microwave shot down to Engineering and Public Works, which is on Kern Drive, or to the code office. We had a sundry of issues. So it is still moving along. One of the things we recognized, and this is really, I have to give a lot of credit to Lucas Hudson, who's Houston, who's our IT individual for the City of Athens, is we can have all the fiber in the world, you know, connecting the city buildings. If you don't have the right switching inside those buildings, if you're using the old switching, that can be a problem. Mm. So we're working with a company called Go2IT, to where they've identified updated state-of-the-art switches that we can start putting in all our facilities. So that's the next thing that's going to start happening. But once we get this thing fully implemented, it's going to have vast improvements for the city's communications. And we're still exploring the ability to have Wi-Fi on Court Street. How we're going to make that work. We're still working out those details, but that'd be nice. As long as we can have safeguards in place to where people wanting to do nefarious things, i.e., you know, deploy ransomware or something else that can totally cripple a city and a city government, you know, we're still wanting to make sure that if we're going to do this, we've got to have all the proper safeguards in place to be able to deploy something like that. But it'd be great to have.
Of course, and you mentioned Tree City just a moment ago. Let's talk about that. I've read this week that Belpre has been recognized, Middleport has been recognized as a Tree City USA, and so too has Athens. What does that mean?
33 years.
33 years in a row.
We've been Tree City USA for 33 years, and what it means is that there's requirements associated with being a Tree City USA. Things like having a shade tree commission or a tree commission, and we have a shade tree commission. We have on staff, although their functions aren't necessarily operating as arborists, the HR director, Ron Lucas, who used to be my deputy service safety director, was a certified arborist. Another individual, Colton James, who at the time was working with our lands and buildings and doing a lot of the landscaping, also a certified arborist. So it's helpful to have arborists on staff, although it's not necessarily a requirement. But there's other elements associated with it. Just to share, and you know, I think maybe to our listeners out there, this isn't going to sound like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, carbon sequestration by your tree canopy is critical for doing your part to reduce carbon emissions, or at least, you know, capturing carbon. Our tree canopy sequesters about 4% of the carbon emissions, which, again, that sounds small. In the grand scheme of things, it's not. It's rather substantial for a city our size. So we're doing well with our tree canopy, always looking to improve it. I don't know if anyone has noticed or not, but where we did a lot of clearing of invasives along the Hocking River from basically the community center along the river all the way up to Walmart or close to Walmart, we contracted with an individual to go in and grub out honeysuckle, autumn olive, a lot of just invasive plants that were that lower canopy, and grapevine, a lot of stuff that was in there. Now, grapevine, vines, those are native, but they can certainly impact the health of trees when they canopy a tree. So we've removed a lot of that. And then after the removal, this is what I hope people have noticed, is we've gone in and replanted a number of trees along the river. The next thing that we're going to be doing, which is also helpful for being a Tree City USA and just, you know, providing more positive vegetation, is putting pollinator gardens in, or at least pollinators along the river. And then we're also exploring putting some pollinators over in West State Street ball field area within that park, to where we can promote more, you know, more butterflies in the area, which are helpful, more honeybees and bees, period, to help continue to repollinate the city of Athens. So.
Well, we've talked about how reducing carbon emissions is a real important part of what Athens is all about. So being a Tree City USA is part of that and is helping you obtain those larger goals.
It does.
Well, we've just completed festival season in Athens. It's been busy. Let's see, Millfest, Highfest, Palmer Fest. What can we look forward to in the coming summer months?
Well, we have gotten through those fests and successfully so, with not much incident. And, you know, this is something that we plan for every year. We start planning in January, knowing that these typically occur end of March and throughout April. And last weekend was the grandparent of them all was Palmer Fest, and went well, in my opinion. The individuals who were reveling at the fest, you know, gets to a point in the day where there's a lot of them are basically saying, you know, can you help shut me down? I don't need to have 150 people in my house because I'm the one who has to clean it up. So, that's been the trend for the past several years, at least it certainly has under my administration. The things to look forward to, clearly we have graduation coming up on the 3rd and 4th, and then again on the 11th is the medical school, I believe. But OU graduations are rapidly approaching, And I want to give a big congratulations to those who are graduating this year. Props to you. Go forth and do good. And then we have a number of events throughout the summer, some rather big ones that are a lot of fun to partake in. And the biggest or the largest one, I should say, is Ohio Brew Week, where we have brewers from all across the state come down. The last call is the last Saturday event. You know, this is 9 days of craft brewing that takes place here in the city of Athens. And again, I need to give a shout out to our three microbrewers in the city, as well as our meadery and our distillery. You know, for a city our size, we pack a punch when it comes to those who are handcrafting different libations in the city. So we've got Brew Week coming at us. We have what's called the Athens Community Arts and Music Festival, which typically takes place in mid-August. The designated outdoor refreshment area is going to be kicking off on the 6th, I believe, of May, 6th or 7th. We're modifying our designated outdoor refreshment area as well. Not only the footprint, we're expanding the DORA footprint. We're also expanding the hours in which the DORA is live. So it's council is taking it up as we speak, and it would be to have the DORA footprint go basically from Carpenter across East State Street down Stimson Avenue all the way to the roundabout, which will open up opportunities for some of the restaurants and bars that are along there, or one bar down there. And the hours are going to change as well. The hours currently, off the top of my head, I believe it's Monday through Thursday from 5 p.m. until 10. Fridays and Saturdays, it's noon to 11, I believe. And then Sundays, it's noon to 8. They're going to change to where they all will run until 11 p.m., I believe. Sunday, I have to double check on that one. That one may not go until 11 p.m., but I know that Monday through Saturday will be till 11, and they all go live at noon. So that'll be a change, too. We have had no incidents. In talking with, you're knocking on wood, I hear you. We've had no incidents, minor or major, within the DORA during the summer months. And the DORA typically runs from early May until mid to late August is the time frame in which our DORA is active. And what we're seeing is more individuals are wanting to kind of build something around them. We have cruise-ins. The Lions Club does a cruise-in in front of the Athens Hangover Easy, is what it's called, the Silver Diner on Court Street. And they like to do a cruise-in, and they like to have it there, and they have a street closing. And street closings that are scheduled, which we do en masse at the beginning of the year, it makes perfect sense to use the DORA. Why not use the DORA? It's where you can get your DORA cup in whatever establishment you want. You can go out onto Court Street. Again, this is predicated that you're within the DORA footprint, but all of Court Street is. And you can sit there and look at classic cars, or you can enjoy music, or you can do whatever you want to do if things are going on in the DORA. So that, again, and in talking with our police chief, Nick Magruder, there has not been anything to where there's been an issue taking place, you know, within the DORA as the DORA is live. And we did have businesses or event organizers that said, can we extend it from 10 to 11? Because a lot of people still want to be out at 11 during the summer months. We said, well, I'll take it up with council and see what council says. And at this point, we're not hearing much blowback from city council.
Well, again, thanks for the updates. Looking forward to the summer months. It's going to be fun in Athens and the surrounding communities, to be certain. Let's wind up our visit this morning with Mayor Steve Patterson of Athens by talking about something that you and I chatted about just before we went on mic. At the beginning of this month, we had this incredible celestial event that gripped many areas throughout the country, certainly including Northern Ohio, talking about the solar eclipse, which a lot of people traveled to see. It was one of those once-in-a-lifetime things that, you know, they don't come around every year. And I understand you had a chance to go up to Upper Sandusky to see it. Tell us about that experience.
I did. I did have that experience. My wife and daughters and I went up to Upper Sandusky. Her parents have a house up there, yet they're snowbirds. They were in Florida. And then we had several guests that accompanied us up there. And I got to tell you, it was, I've never seen one before, not totality. I've seen a lot of eclipses where they were partial eclipses. And what, you know, and this house is basically in the middle of a cornfield with no trees around you. So you're basically have the 360 of a horizon, you know, aside from the house. And about 2 minutes into the eclipse, which was totally amazing. It was just, it was dark everywhere. You look up and you're seeing stars in the sky and the ring of fire when you're looking at the eclipse itself. But I took a moment at about 2 minutes in and just kind of did a visual 360. And it was the oddest thing. It was like you're looking at, you know, dawn all the way around you. And you know full well it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Experienced it, like I said, it was an awe because I've never seen one. And then to see us come back out again and all of a sudden everything's back to, it's bright again.
I've never heard that, what you just described, the 360 degrees of dawn before. That's kind of a fascinating description. Ah, doggone it. I was going to go with my sister. We were planning a trip into Northern Ohio ourselves, but her health wasn't good. Yeah. So we weren't able to do it. But I've been living vicariously through people like yourself and others who went to see it. It was truly a fabulous event and good for everyone who had a chance to see it because, as I said, it's once in a lifetime. Mayor, we're going to wrap this up, but I thought I'd give you a couple minutes, if you had any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us before we conclude this party line.
You know, the only thing I want to share, you mentioned the Tree City USA award that we received. We also received another award of late from the Ohio Department of Transportation for best practices when it comes to hiring. When we're given a bid or we're awarded funding for a project in the city, a street project, a bridge project, whatever, in terms of hiring minority businesses or companies to come in and help with as a sub or as a contractor with projects. We were recognized in the state as being exemplar for doing work like that. And then we also have another award coming. I can't share too much detail, but it has to do with our efforts in making sure that we have EV charging stations. We did receive this is through Sustainable Ohio Public Energy Council, took the lead and wrote a grant to include 28 municipalities from Dayton to the city of Athens. We started working on the grant, but all of a sudden this grant started growing and we were bringing in other municipalities. Like, this is getting too big for us to manage. So SOPEC is managing it, and it'll ultimately provide over 230 EV charging stations from Dayton all the way to the city of Athens, which would not only include the municipalities, but schools, the university, libraries. It's a pretty impressive project, but we're being recognized for going above and beyond when it comes to changing our planet the best that we can to be sustainable as well as driving down our carbon emissions.
Well, as always, I want to thank you for your visit again this morning. We look forward to your next visit. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Mayor Steve Patterson of Athens, and this is Stephen Figel, and I thank you for joining us for another edition of Party Line on Mix 97.3 FM and 970 WATH.
Daily reports of the stock market.